May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. A portrait of a disciple, people who go, from our gospel lesson, Luke chapter 10. I want to start this morning with a quiz. Are you ready to be quizzed? It's a pop quiz. You didn't know it was coming. The main or primary business of the church is it A? Don't answer. Is it A, a place of fellowship where Christians love each other? Is it B, to have an inviting facility? Is it C, a hospital for sinners? Is it D, to gather a large number of people? Is it E, to be a teaching center? Or is it F, to make disciples? What is the number one primary business? Okay. Is it A, B, C, D, E, or F? You're right. You're right. I knew this service would get it. Not so sure about the next. No, I'm kidding. The right answer is F, to make disciples. Many of these answers are really good, but they're not the major business. The last thing Jesus did when he was on earth was to spell out what the true business of the church is. We call it the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Now, I thought about this many times. Our church buildings ought to be considered more like forts than they are castles. Because we're not in a defensive posture trying to keep the culture out as much as we are like a fort where we send the cavalry, ourselves, into the world to influence the culture in our community. We're forts. Jesus is sending us out to say the kingdom of God is near, sending us out to say the gospel and announce the good news, to invite people to believe it. And you know, it really is good news. It really is. A woman named Kim Drake wrote Reader's Digest sometimes back to say that her mom was getting swamped by calls from strangers. The reason was a medical billing service had launched an 800 number which was identical to hers. When she called to complain, you know what the company said? Get a new number. I've had mine for 20 years, she pleaded. Couldn't you change yours? No, they refused. So Kim's mom told the billing service, well, fine. From now on, I'm going to answer everyone who calls. Congratulations, your bill is paid in full. The next day, they changed their number. This is what Jesus did. He paid for all of our sins, debt paid in full. And we're at peace with God for one reason and one reason only. Jesus died for our sins on the cross. And that means everything. Everything. Jesus picked 72 disciples, and he said, go. This is one of the first characteristics of a disciple. A person goes at the direction of Jesus. They're not to go with a lot of provisions. This is one of the things he says that makes a stop, you know. They were defenseless. They were dependent totally on God. You know, I also believe that this means that they didn't have endless training lessons, nor a 5-inch training manual. Everything Jesus says emphasizes urgency. Get out there. They were also to have a sharp focus. Don't get involved with piddly things. Focus on the task at hand. Don't get sidetracked with lesser things. I think today's church needs to heed that. There's all kinds of things a church can do that are not part of the main mission of the church. We have one business. We don't have this to do. We shouldn't be in the real estate business. We shouldn't be in this business or that business. Make disciples. And then go inviting. He or she that hears you hears me. If they reject the invitation, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me, Jesus tells them. And the result of their going out was sheer amazement. Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. When you go out in Jesus' name, you go out in a power and authority you may never have realized you have. So what does this portion of Scripture tell us about being a disciple today, 2016? It most certainly means that God is not just telling pastors to go out there and tell the people the gospel. It means that he wants all of his disciples to do that. It must have been Satan's cleverest trick to neutralize millions of Christians by convincing them that only pastors and priests can go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never God's intention. In fact, Jesus deputizes this congregation and all Christians everywhere to be his emissaries, to be his disciples, to go and proclaim. Someone put it this way: the day of the church member, passive, sitting, taking in but not moving, is over. The day of the church minister has come. Or to put it another way, it's every intention of God that you be a missionary. And the mission field is right outside your door. Disciples, they're sponges of the Word of God. But Jesus says, go. We're now to be the paintbrushes. We've had long enough. If we believe God and take His Word seriously, we have to ask ourselves a very tough question. I mean the toughest of questions. And here it is. Are you concerned that not all the members of your immediate family will be in heaven? That's a tough question. Then we range out from there. Are you concerned about relatives, about neighbors, about friends? I know there's a frustration here. They'll get upset if I start preaching at them. I've heard this said before. Or I could lose my relationship with them. You know, that's exactly right. You start talking about Jesus, and you threaten your relationship, even with closest members of your family. You risk it. You risk it. No doubt about it. On the other hand, you risk it, and though they may reject it at first, years later they may come back and say, I'm glad you asked me that. I've never been able to get it out of my mind. I have adult children. I'm always asking them about their relationship with God. Now, you say, well, you're a pastor. I'd be doing that if I wasn't one. Because I believe this. I believe there's only one way to eternal life. It's through Jesus Christ. And because I love my children fiercely, that's top of my agenda. Yes, no matter what you do with this question, you're not going to be able to shake it. There's an urgency. I came upon a title of an article that made me smile and also made me think. The title was this: when someone is drowning, it's no time to teach them how to swim. That's right. We may have just a few opportunities, only narrow windows. The question is, do we care? To what degree do we care? Let me tell you the simplest thing we can do. Just invite. Surveys show that if you invite a friend to church, 50% of the time, they will respond with yes. I found that to be true. That percentage goes up substantially when you give the second and third and fourth and fifth invitation. You may know, or maybe you don't know, the story of Garrison Keillor, the host of the popular public radio NPR program, A Prairie Home Companion. Keillor was brought up in a fringe group of the Plymouth Brethren Church. Finding the church heavy with legalisms and dullness, he was off-putted, and he stopped going to church. Well, people who know him or knew him would ask, "Do you go to church?" And then he would say no, and they would follow up with, "Well, why don't you go to church? Why have you stopped?" And he would tell them. The ritual exchange served him well for many years. People asking him those questions, he would tell them the reasons. But sometime back, a Lutheran friend, yes, Lutherans can evangelize, a Lutheran friend started out asking him those two stock questions: do you go to church? And why don't you go to church? But then there was a third question. And the third question was, why don't you come with us? Garrison Keillor was thrown off his stock answers. Having never been asked this before, and before he knew it, he found himself saying, "Yeah, yes, I'll go with you." And that's all it took. He was back in the fold. Wouldn't it have been a shame if no one had asked him that question? Jesus makes it crystal clear that it is a terrible thing to reject his invitation. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Jesus did, and Capernaum as well, he did great miracles there. You know, you and I, we saw one miracle of Jesus, that would be it, right, for all time, right? Just one miracle. They saw many miracles. We say that. But they rejected Jesus. He invited them to believe. They said no. When we invite people to come hear God's word, to hear what Jesus did for them, there is a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake. Beyond simple invitations, there's a whole host of things we might do to reach out to people. Of course, it all starts with our own encounter with Jesus Christ, knowing what forgiveness and peace he brings to our life, as far as challenge as well. Our love for Jesus, which causes us to love what he loves, which is other people. Did you see that old movie, Crocodile Dundee. How many? Just raise your hand if you've seen it. Okay, I know who I'm talking to. The other people, you don't get out much. Crocodile Dundee, there's a scene where this rugged outdoorsman, Crocodile Dundee, comes from sparsely populated Australian outback, finds himself in New York City. Okay, how many people have been to New York City? Raise your hand. Okay. You're walking down the street in New York City. Do you just stop and say, hey, how you doing? What if you do that in New York City? You might get maced. You know, are people ready to stop and talk with you? No. Well, this is what Crocodile Dundee does. He takes time to introduce himself to strangers. Well, hey, mate, I'll be around for a couple of weeks. I'm sure we'll run into each other. It's funny because we think in a community of thousands or millions, why try? But here is the truth, and it really works. Notice people. Take an interest in them. Ask them questions. And you'll meet a lot of people. Maybe not on the street there in New York, you know. Maybe there's a better place. But you'll meet a lot of people. Start a new ministry. Who says you can't? Start a Bible study in your home. You have my permission. Think of ways you can help people. Ask people how you can pray for them. Pastor Mark does a good job of that. It's always asking people, how can I pray for you? At church, look for people sitting alone and talk to them. Include them. How about this? How about partnering up or teaming up with a neighbor, maybe from a different church, different background, and having a barbecue, a cookout, inviting your other neighbors, and winning the right to speak about your faith? How about that? Wouldn't that be good? Because it really doesn't matter how many people we can stuff in our church. It matters how many people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord and know the truth of His Word. All these suggestions have one thing in common. You're going. You're moving. You're active. You're extending yourself. You're stretching yourself. You're reaching out. You're being a disciple of Jesus. Make your mark in this world in the name of Jesus, and let someone say, I'm in heaven because of you. In the name of Jesus and to His glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Please rise.